Acts chapter 9. You know, we talked this morning about how things have been bad and how things will get worse. I had a neighbor friend who was one of my best friends, and he'd always say, "It's bad, but it'll get worse." Now, I know that sounds cynical, but the truth is, as we look at our history, we see a time in America where it's been worse. And as we see the decline in morals in our country and civility, not just morals, but in civility, now, you can't even have a conversation with people anymore. It's so difficult because, you know, a simple disagreement is, it should just be a disagreement. We ought to be able to disagree and still get along, still work together. And yet so many have become so emotional and so tense that you're afraid to talk to anybody about anything because they'll get mad and might even shoot you or stab you or something. And it's really just gotten to that point, unfortunately. And I know they all want to blame one guy, but let me tell you something. As much as I would tend to support him, he didn't control any of my life. I make the decisions of my life. And so, and in the same turn, if your life goes sideways, don't look for somebody else to blame, not in the Tallahassee or in D.C. Take responsibility for your life and for your emotions and for your words and for your conversations, all right? But getting back to this point, there may come a day, and we're seeing signs that it will be. This new administration has a goal to bring foreigners into this country, has a goal to fund the murdering of babies before they're born. Call it whatever you want. Legalize it if you want to, and fund it. This administration, and yeah, I'm going to keep going, is on a, and I'm not just talking about the White House. I'm talking about everybody that's in control now and the dominant power in D.C. is on a kick to make our speech fit their control, their definitions. And if we preach what the Bible says, which we do and will continue to, we'll be targeted. Facebook, at this point, has not told us we can't preach it. But there will come a time when somebody decides that what we're preaching is hate, and Facebook will say you can't. We put it on YouTube. Same thing. They're having the same kind of rules where if they don't like what you say, they say you can't use our platform. And by the way, I disagree with a lot of people on this because it's a free platform. It's their platform. And if they say I can't use it, it's their choice. It's their rules. It's their platform. You may disagree with that. But if we're using it for free, they ought to be able to tell us you can't do that and just take us off. Now, I think it's a restriction of speech, but I see a day when it's coming. I see a day not only when it's coming that we won't be able to be on social media, but I see a time that's coming where they're going to even go to our website and say you can't publish that on your own website anymore. It's getting restricted. That's the goal. The goal is to tell us what we can and can't say. That if we preach against sin and name it, and even though the world has embraced it and called it normal, we're still holding to the old science that says it's not normal, that they'll tell us we're wrong. Coming today, we preach there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. And there will come a day, possibly in this country, in America, the land of the free, that some of you fought for and others died for, where they will say, we can't preach the gospel. You say, preacher, that's a conspiracy. Guys, the signs are all there. We talked about the return of the Lord, the rapture of the church, and that's coming. I hope that comes before all of those things come to pass. Guys, and it's not one person. Please understand what I'm saying. It is not one person driving this agenda. In fact, well, I won't go that far. No, because that's personal. Verse 1. Look at verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Let me say this. Saul of Tarsus was a true enemy of the church. He wanted the church shut down. He wanted Christians either dead or locked up. His words were hateful. His actions were violent and strategic. And one more thing, he acted with legal authority. Saul. So everything he did was legal. It had pushed that way, the peer pressure, the change of morals, the change of society, the new leadership. Of course, the Romans having control over Israel. And, of course, he went to the priests. They still had kind of a double legal system. But what he did was legal. And his goal was to destroy the church. Y'all mad at him yet? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Because when they fight the preaching of the gospel, of the Bible, they're not fighting me. They're not fighting Capitol Heights Baptist Church. It's an attack on Christ. Understand that. When they stand against soul winning and the sharing of the gospel beyond these walls, they're not fighting against our speech. They're fighting against our Savior. It's an attack on Jesus. Even if they do it with legal authority. I was so happy to see that the Supreme Court told California that they were wrong to say churches and synagogues can't meet. That it was wrong. Movie theaters open, bowling alleys open, but churches had to be closed. I'm disappointed in some of their compromise, saying, well, okay, if you don't have singing, if you restrict singing and chanting, and then that's okay. But in a concert, they can sing. They still have those. And so the restrictions they laid on churches were unfair and unconstitutional. And they continue to be. And I tell you what, I don't understand how those in government right now can do the things they have done in the last several months. Last year, let's just say a whole year. And it's absolutely unconstitutional. They're acting outside of their legal authority. We'll see what happens. But guys, we are constitutionally protected. Free speech. And they're trying to shove, and I know this is a little off topic, trying to shove a new rule down about owning guns and buying ammunition. Constitutionally protected. And the Supreme Court's now faced with a case, and they're going to decide. I saw the headline. Supreme Court to decide if law enforcement can seize guns in your house without a warrant. Constitution. At what point did we forget there's a legal document that defines how this country runs? Legal authority. Saul had legal authority. And the reason I talk about all those things is so you can understand, guys, growing up in this country, I know we never thought there would come a time when the law would come and shut us down. When authorities would come and tell us we can't have church. But we're getting closer and closer to that day. I'm glad that our governor has got the backbone and he has, you know, has regular meetings and phone calls, conference calls with pastors. And he said, when all this started a year ago, he said, guys, it's unconstitutional to tell the churches they can't meet. churches make your own decisions for the safety of your people, but I, as the governor, can't tell you what to do. And I appreciate that, because that's following the law. Saul comes to this point. He's going to go arrest Christians. He's got his legal documents and he's going. And then what happened? He met Jesus. He said, verse 5, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, this prick is a sharpened rod that they would use to poke an ox to make him go. He said, "But it's hard to resist the power, the authority, the strength that you are up against." Oh, see, now he wasn't dealing with the followers. He was dealing with the Savior himself. And trembling and astonished, he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Here's the hard thing. It's hard for us to comprehend. There are people who will oppose this church, what we do, what we preach, and think they're doing God a favor. They think they're doing right. They think they're serving God to tell us that we're doing wrong. And we have to keep that in mind, that it's not that they're just blatantly lying to themselves. They're convinced of it. Is this the Word of God? Is this what we preach? By the way, have I said anything up here that's not true tonight? And yet there would be people, maybe there will be, who complain of what I've said is too political. Guys, this is our country at stake. This is our freedom and our liberty and our ability to preach the gospel and exercise our faith freely in a free country. That our forefathers and friends fought for. I'm not willing to just give it up. I'm not willing just to lay it down. Jesus, you see, Paul thought he was something. But then he met Jesus. And that was an irresistible call. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Understand something. And Jesus said, "Arise, go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do." In verse number 7, it says, "The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." You see, just as in other times, the people would hear a thundering, booming voice, but maybe not be able to distinctly tell what was being said. You know, this was a personal call. This was Jesus talking to Saul. This was not Jesus talking to everybody. And so Saul heard the message, and Saul saw the man. But they saw the light, and they heard the sound, because it was personal. Guys, each one of us needs this. Each one of us needs a personal directive from God. You, in order to be saved, need a personal invitation from God. And when God lays it on your heart that you are a sinner, when He shows you that He sent a Savior, when He calls you to faith, you see, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. God extends to you that opportunity to believe. You must answer that call, and everyone will have that opportunity. By the way, many will have it many times before they finally accept it or they finally reject it. So many people I've testified to over and over and over and over until they finally accepted or finally rejected. But see, it was a personal call. It left Paul blind for 3 days. Verse 8, Saul rose from the earth. His eyes were opened. He saw no man. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. I mean, he was in shock. You talk about shell shock, he was shell shocked. Oh, he was fighting against the church. He thought he was doing God a service. He was serving his community by shutting down this cult. And then he met Jesus. And Jesus shut him down. Jesus shut down that operation and that mission. I don't know whatever happened to those warrants that he had to arrest Christians and shut down synagogues, but I'll tell you this. Jesus didn't tolerate it. He finally met Jesus. He finally got saved. Guys, there are enemies of the church today, true enemies of the church. Some of them are in the state house, and some of them are in Congress, and some of them are supposed to be our servants in the government. That idea got lost a long time ago, didn't it? They're not working for us. They're working for themselves, and they're working for their families, and they're building up empires and enterprises on our backs. You want to know why they want to raise minimum wage? So they can get more tax money to spend. That's what it's all about. You want to know why they want gas prices to go up? So they can make more money off that too. If you think I'm wrong, call me. Three days. He was blind. Look at verse number 11. We skip verse number 10, but there was a certain disciple there in Damascus named Ananias. And Jesus, in verse 11, said to him, "Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold," look at this, "he prayeth." Saul was a man of faith. He had religion. He didn't have salvation until he surrendered on that road to Damascus. But he already understood the concept of prayer, and the most important component to the Christian life is prayer. Guys, our relationship to each other in the church is not the most important relationship. It's valuable to me. It's a treasure to me. That I love you and you love me and we love each other. But my most important component and relationship and yours is the relationship we have with God. And that is defined by our prayer life. If you don't spend time with God in prayer, how can you tell me you walk with Him and have a good relationship with Him? You don't even talk to Him. You say, "Well, I talk to Him when I need something." That's not called friendship. You wouldn't consider me a friend if I only called you when I needed something. We need to pray. We need to spend time, communion and worship and intimate time with God. And God said He's already praying. Verse number 13, Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." There are faithful Christians who are afraid to confront the enemies of the church. We don't want to deal with them. But I can tell you something. The enemies of the church can become ministers of the church. The one thing that's missing is salvation. The one thing that's missing is a relationship with Jesus Christ, having their sins washed away, having their past forgiven, and having their future secured. That's what's missing. I know we don't want to deal with them. I know it's easier just to put their picture on the wall and throw darts at it. Talk bad about them and preach about, "Oh, they're ruining our country." I know it's easier to do that than it is to reach out to them and say, "You need Jesus. God loves you too." Guys, there's no doubt they're enemies. There's no doubt they're taking a stand and forcing legislation that is anti-God and anti-American. But talking about it's not going to change it. Getting mad about it's not going to change it. You say, "Well, we should pray for them." Yeah, okay. It reminds me of the lady who, two ladies that walked. I don't know if this is a good story to tell or not in my current position, but the two ladies would walk every day, and And they noticed that each of them would stop in front of this, I'll just call it a bar. How's that? Club. Den of sin. And they had, and so one of them said, the other says, how come you stop in front of that place every time you walk? Says, oh, said, I'm praying that the Lord will burn it down. Well, the next night it come by and it was burned down. And they was out there just rejoicing. And she said, I knew if I prayed, the Lord would do it. She said, well, I knew if I put feet to your prayers, it would happen. this is not an endorsement for arson. But the point is this. Are we just going to pray they're going to get saved, or are we going to try to tell them how to get saved? Are we just going to pray that they'll get right, or are we going to reach out to them, whether by letter or email or phone call or personal confrontation, face-to-face conversation, and say, God's against what you're doing, but God is a forgiving God. And if you'll put your trust in Him, He'll forgive your sins. You see, the church can't just define our enemies and stand against them. We've got to remember our mission. We've got to remember our purpose is to reach them with the gospel. And so, yes, let's pray for them. But let's look at verse number 15 finally. We'll end here. Ananias resisted the idea. He said, it's dangerous. It's bad for me. He's the law. He's got legal authority. And if I go to him, I'm exactly the one he's after. And if I expose myself, they'll shut me down, right? They'll close it out. But Jesus says in verse number 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Wow, what could happen? What could happen if those who are taking such a stand against everything the Bible stands for would suddenly be saved, would find their hope in God? And you say, oh, Pastor, that preach is good, but do you think it'll ever happen? It'll never happen if we don't try. It'll never happen if we don't. And by the way, we don't have to leave the county to find people that need Jesus. We don't have to leave the county to find government people that need Jesus. Our mission, our calling, is a personal call to reach the chosen vessels of God who do not yet know they are chosen. Let's pray. God, we pray that you will draw us to you, that you will make us useful, that we'll not just glory in complaining and defining those who take a stand against what's true, preaching against the things that they do. God, that we'll go back to the fundamental purpose of the church, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. God, that they'll be saved, that they'll be changed. Dismiss us now with your grace as we go into our business. In Jesus' name, amen.